From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in Lowell, Massachusetts at a block party. It was organized in part by Dr. Hannah Tello with the goal of having fun, for starters. If families and kids know that they can have a good time coming together, well, maybe they'd be open to vaccination against COVID. And it worked. Dr. Tello was able to vaccinate roughly 10 times more people through that event than she would expect to vaccinate at a typical community clinic. This story was told recently in an article written by Monroe County legislator Rachel Barnhart. Writing for the Gotham Gazette, Barnhart says, quote, "When Delta hit, it exposed the fact that Rochester, a majority Black and Latino city where one in three residents lives in poverty, had a vaccination rate below 50%. Meanwhile, affluent white suburbs reached vaccination rates topping 70%. While many people worked hard to vaccinate city residents, it was clear we needed to try new strategies," end quote. For months now, legislator Barnhart has pushed for more emphasis on community events, building trust, building bridges, more events like the one in Lowell, Mass., or the ones held in Rochester this summer and fall. But the numbers remain, well, in some ways, the disparities are still rather grim. Rochester's wealthier suburbs are generally well over 70% vaccinated now. The city's languishing. And new data shows another trend that is troubling. The number of people skipping their second doses is rising significantly. We're not talking about boosters, just second doses. And now, with kids 5 and up eligible to be vaccinated, the outreach continues, from community events to programs like the one the JCC is running to offer local kids a way to have fun on Vaccine Day. Is it working? What are the roadblocks? And as you've heard on this program, I know there is a lot of backlash, is maybe the wrong word, but frustration, particularly among more progressive listeners, about mask mandates. It happened on this program when Dr. Mendoza was on the program a couple weeks ago. Last week, Adam Bello, the county executive, was here, and there were callers who said, you got to mandate masks, got to mandate masks. Well, there is near uniformity right now in local governance among the county executive, the health commissioner, political advisors and the team. They feel like maybe we go to a mask mandate eventually, but they really feel like the key to the realm is vaccination and absolutely moving forward in a way that says we're nowhere close to where we can be and need to be here. And that's what they're focused on. So this hour, let's talk about efforts to maybe diversify some of the events themselves, the fun that they're trying to create, or at least some of the bridges they're trying to build. And Rachel Barnhart's been talking about that for months. She's back here, a Monroe County legislator. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for focusing on this issue.
You got it. Later this hour, we'll be joined by Dr. Steve Cook, a pediatrician. In studio with us as well is Freda Schneider, who's co-founder and executive director of Tykes at the JCC, which is hosting a family-friendly vaccine event coming up here. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
On the subject of family-friendly, Freda, what have you put together? What's coming up here?
We have a program this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at the JCC called A Show and a Shot. And kids ages 5 to 11 can come to the JCC and get their first COVID vaccination, thanks to Rochester Regional Health, our partner in this program. And during the observation period, after they receive their shot, all of our Tykes performers will be there to entertain and create a little excitement with story time and costumed characters and puppets and some small crafts and cartoons and all kinds of fun things for kids to do. And every child who comes will get I guess I'd call it a certificate of bravery, and they'll be able to see a Tykes show at no cost.
Whose idea was this?
It's something that I had been thinking about for more than a year and really, really wanted to do. And then when we finally got the go-ahead for vaccines for kids 5 and up, it was time to make it happen.
I know that you and the team have been working hard to find ways throughout this pandemic to stay engaged, to stay communicating with the community, to keep performing when you can.
Yes.
And your focus is on kids. That's what you do. What's the family response been so far, generally speaking?
I guess I have two answers to that. We opened our 17th season in November with the show Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus by Mo Willems, and it was our first foray back into live theater in over a year of being dark because of the pandemic, and the response was out of this world. We either sold out or just about sold out 11 different shows, so I couldn't believe the warm and exuberant response. Our response to A Show and a Shot has been strong, certainly, and also there is a segment of the population that is very concerned about this and encouraging me not to do so. So I didn't expect that.
So let me hit that from a couple of different perspectives. First of all, some of the response clearly has been very favorable and appreciative.
Yes. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah, especially because, among actors who are eager to perform.
Yeah. I mean, so we know in our community there's a number of kids who are vaccinated already, and there's a number of families who are interested but maybe a little nervous. And then there may be kids who are sort of nervous, you know,
yes.
don't love shots but want to get moving on with this thing. So I know there's a lot of appreciation for what you're doing. I think in the category of the other side, there's a couple of different flavors of this. I think the concerns about what do the data say? Do kids need it? Is it safe? Those are all fair and good questions. I think the you can't do this, this is wrong stuff, is a small minority. It tends to be a loud minority.
I couldn't agree more.
Okay. So it's not everybody, but I think people should know you're working so hard on these events to help kids feel comfortable, to help families feel comfortable. And I'm sorry that you have to take some abuse over it.
It is worth it to keep kids safe.
Have you been surprised at how virulent some of the abuse is?
That is what surprised me. It didn't surprise me to know that there were some families who perhaps were not yet comfortable with the idea of having their young children vaccinated, or even who perhaps have decided against it. What I didn't expect was sort of the venom, you know, the extreme hostility that I didn't see coming. I really didn't expect that. And I didn't expect people to correlate a voluntary vaccination opportunity with the Holocaust, which I've heard a couple of times in the past couple of weeks. And as a Jewish person working at the JCC, I'm speechless at that attempted correlation.
I know, though, there are people who got your back on that, though.
Oh, for sure. Yes, there are. Of course. And as you said, the majority of people. Yes.
But it can be deflating when, I mean, that kind of an analogy, I mean, invoking the Holocaust in the Jewish community, that kind of analogy can be deflating, I'm sure. Do you find, have your spirits sagged at all over this? Or are you feeling pretty good going into the weekend?
I am feeling so, so good about this program and the enhancement that it will offer to our community, the boost to theater, the boost to these children. I have to say that when someone called me a Nazi, it hurt my feelings. I've just never, as a Jewish person, been called that before.
That's the first time.
That was a first.
I'm sorry. I'm genuinely sorry, Freda. I mean, Freda is one of the kindest people I know. And I'm sorry you're going through that. But again, that's a small minority.
Yes, it is.
And to be clear here, this is not a coercion campaign.
Clearly.
This is not a campaign to dupe kids when their parents aren't around. In fact, I'm sure you're happy that the parents will be there to, you know, this is consent based as always here.
Oh, yes. It is required for the parents to be there.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
And we wouldn't do it any other way, just in case anybody is wondering. But Rachel Barnhart, let's kind of take a look at the bigger picture here. So what Freda's working on this weekend, these are programs aimed at having fun with kids, helping them feel comfortable, giving families the opportunity. You've talked for months about creating events that engender trust, have people there to answer questions, and aren't just sort of straight-up clinics, whether it's the block party that you wrote about in Lowell, Mass, or other events that you've helped put together in Rochester. Are we seeing more of this? Is there a budget for it? What's going on?
So these are all great questions, and Freda, I wish want to come to my neighborhood and put one of these put one of these shows in a shot. I think it sounds like a really wonderful idea, and I'm sorry you've experienced this pushback.
I do want to come to your neighborhood.
All right,
let's talk
after this. Evan, you asked a really good question. We put on, I think the last time I was on your show, I talked about this event that we had back in September. It was organized by Connected Communities. I worked with them to help get incentives from the county and make sure that we had other resources available. And this was an opening of a playground, and it was on Grand Avenue, and it was very accessible. We advertised on WDKX as well as on lawn signs because, you know, people aren't online. Many people aren't online. We had free food, fun, games, music, a line dancing group, and we had a vaccine truck. And we were told that day if we did 20 people in a few hours, it would be a successful day. We did 76 and we could have kept going all day long. And we hit on that magic formula of the right marketing to reach people, fun, food, in a neighborhood where people felt comfortable. They could walk, bike, you know, drive up. And I'll be really honest with you. I wrote about this in Newsweek. I wrote about it in Gotham Gazette. I'm trying to tell the whole world, like, this worked. You know, this worked. But it's been very difficult to scale up this model and to get support to continue to hold these events at scale. And I think there is a few reasons for that. I don't think it's baked into our vaccination strategy in the United States. You know, just this week, President Biden said, let's have family vaccine events. You know, children are eligible now. People are eligible for boosters. Most arms are now eligible to come in and get a shot. And so President Biden this week said, let's do these events. But it's hard to find a community partner as wonderful as Connected Communities, willing to do this that might not be part of their core mission. Maybe they don't know how to get the funding. And it's hard to find these partners. You know, I learned today the city school district is really not doing a lot on the vaccination front. I asked because I read in the Buffalo News that Buffalo is getting 10,000 doses from the state to distribute in schools to kids and their families.
I presume through nurses and clinics in the schools.
They call it community schools. I'm not quite sure of their setup. But the point is they're actively engaged
in
making sure that that they're doing this. Now, I'm not blaming anyone, okay? What I'm trying to say here is that I think we can fix this, and I really am a huge believer in this family model, this family-friendly, fun model. Councilmember Mary Lupien and I emailed Mayor Smith yesterday, so if anyone from the city is listening, please respond to our email. Let's do an event. Let's have Rock Holiday Vaccination Village, okay? Well, there are things that we can do to draw people in and make them comfortable and have their questions answered. And one thing that I would really like to drive home for your listeners is to really look at this problem from an equity lens. I think there's been so much attention to, you know, really being mad at people who aren't vaccinated yet and shaming them. But there's a real equity problem that we have in the city of Rochester, rockhealthdata.org, wonderful website, wonderful project that they're doing. We can drill down to the census tract level to see what the vaccination rates are. Today, they released data for December 2nd. In the city of Rochester, 54% of the total population is vaccinated. That compares to, at that date, about 71-72% for the county as a whole. We're lagging. My own census tract is at 45%. Think about that. And there is a direct correlation between the rates of hospitalization for these populations, according to the Monroe County dashboard, and the vaccination rate. So these are at-risk, vulnerable populations, and we need to reach them. How do you reach them? Well, look, you can't assume people are online. You can't assume that they have trust in the healthcare system that perhaps has failed them many times over. I mean, we don't have the best healthcare system in this country. And we also have to assume that COVID is not the biggest threat that many of my constituents face. It just isn't. It might be the biggest threat that you and I face, but it is not for them. You know, we're talking about poverty, violence, threats of eviction. We're talking about a lot of other things going on. And so how do you break through that? Well, you break through it by having events that people want to attend with their families where they can have their questions answered.
What has been the response at the county level? Let's start there first, because when we talk about budgets, whether it's incentives, we've talked about $100 gift cards, $100 for a shot, et cetera. Has there been a continued budget and reception on the county level first?
Well, I am thrilled that Monroe County is doing a couple different things. First of all, the county did continue the $100 incentive program. I know they said it was going to end on November 23rd. We still have gift cards available. Go to that Finger Lakes Vaccine Hub website under Thank You Gift. There is a clinic almost every day where you can go in, get a first dose if you're 12 and over, and get that $100 gift card. Please contact me if you can't navigate the site. I will tell you where you can go. So that's really great that the county has continued to do that. You know, the scaling up the model has been difficult, again, because of community partners, because of staffing issues that we see in the medical community right now. There are barriers. I think they're solvable, and I will keep pushing this issue to get more support to do these events. I think we do need partners in the school. We do need partners in the city to help. The other thing that the county is doing that I think is super, super important is we're going to be one of the leaders, if not in New York State, in the country. The county has purchased 750,000 rapid tests, and we'll be handing them out for free like they do in Europe. You know, this is a start. I'm very eager to see the plan. This is revolutionary. Rapid tests have gotten a bad rap throughout this pandemic. They are more than 95% accurate at determining if you're contagious. And that's what we want to find out so that you can go to school, you can go to work, you can go to an event. And so I'm very excited that the county is doing that.
Yeah, that's a big step at the county level and involves some planning. Frankly, I mean, that's a whole separate conversation, rapid testing. But I was shocked at what Jen Psaki said at the White House yesterday. She was asked about how come you don't have more rapid testing? And she sort of flippantly asked the reporter, well, what are we supposed to do, give one to every house? And the answer is yes.
I would go even further.
That's what they're doing elsewhere.
Yeah, I would go even further. We got to bring vaccines to people, and we should probably bring high-quality masks as well. You know, you started off the program saying mask mandates are off the table, or off the table, at least for right now. I'm actually fine with that, and I'll tell you why. And I've been saying this for a while, Evan, you know that. Public health is kind of like you have a bank of goodwill and trust, and every time you make a rule, you're withdrawing from that bank. And right now, I think the bank is kind of low on funds, and we've had some bounce checks. And so we really need to focus on the things that are going to work. Focusing on cloth masks that we know that those are not very good, not very effective, if at all. Perhaps we should be handing out KN95s to people in high-risk jobs. That's the type of policy that you're not making people mad. You're not feeding the culture wars. And public health is meeting people where they are and getting them to do what you want them to do. We can't do all the things. It's not an unlimited resource. What can we do? I say we do the fun events. We do the show with the shot. We do the party in Beechwood. That's what we do. We hand out the rapid tests. We hand out the high-quality masks. We can't do all the things, but what are the things that we're going to do that have the most impact?
All right, a couple other points here. You mentioned RCSD, and I know that's near and dear to you as a grad and someone who lives in the city. When you reached out, you said you reached out just to sort of kind of take the temperature of RCSD because you had heard it reported in Buffalo that they are doing quite a bit with trying to be proactive and get students, kids vaccinated. You said nothing's going on right now. I mean, we'll talk separately, and I'm sure that they may want to say something separate. Did that surprise you? What did you learn beyond that, if anything?
Well, I got to be careful with what I say. I informally reached out to someone, and I don't speak for the RCSD, nor do I know everything that they've done on this issue, okay? But I will say that I've heard from directly from people there as well as outside of the RCSD that there is no mass effort to vaccinate families in the city using the resource that is the school district. There just isn't. And I think that's a missed opportunity, but I don't want to blame the district. I think they've got a lot of things that they're dealing with right now. I think they need some really strong partners, whether it's the state, the county, to come in and help with that. And I think the state in particular, the Vax to School program, it really should be doing a lot with the school district. I'm not seeing that. I'd like to see more of that kind of partnership. I mean, we really need to talk about this at mass scale. We can't just talk about a clinic on a Saturday at a school. That's not what I'm talking about. We need to really talk about how do we go into these high-risk areas and do the whole family. Schools are an anchor in a community. You have access to the whole family, and most arms are eligible right now for something.
One more question that in different settings might be viewed as an attempt to sort of provoke you to hit at somebody. I'm not trying to do that. I want to ask you a very straightforward question. You live in the city of Rochester. You've talked about census tract differentiation in terms of vaccination rates. Your census tract is at 45% vaccinated, that's right?
That's according to rockhealthdata.org, yes.
So if your census tract was a state in this country, you'd be in the bottom two or three in the whole country.
Yeah, people are suffering. People are suffering right now, and I'm going to put my communications hat on right now. It was a huge mistake for the Finger Lakes Vaccine Hub from the beginning of this pandemic to focus on zip code data, and I think that masked the problem in the city. I feel like I'm one of the only people who says this out loud. Hey, our vaccination rate in the city is really bad. We have some census tracts right now that I believe are below 40%, at least one. this is bad. This is causing suffering. People are dying. Why don't we have more focus on this?
Well, what's the answer? Why do you think?
I think a lot of it goes back to the way Cuomo set up our vaccine distribution system, set up the hubs, set up a lot of diffuse accountability. But I think we really need to get a hold of this, and we have to really just focus on it and talk about it. And we need to hold ourselves accountable. That includes myself. We have to hold ourselves accountable for what is happening right now and how can we fix it. And I think we have to work together and prioritize this. We have a new mayor. We're going to have a new mayor in January. I'm not blaming Lovely Warren. Please, that's not what I'm trying to say here, but we've got to get a hold of this and figure this out.
Do you get a sense that the incoming mayor, Malik Evans, is committed to this? He said has said on this program he very much is.
I've talked to anybody who will listen to me about this, and yes, I do think that that he's eager. You know, the city doesn't have a health department. The county has a health department.
Yeah.
And as I said, it's difficult to do all the things, right? And so there's no doubt in my mind that boosters are important. I got my booster. But remember, once you start putting things on that, you start taking away from first doses. And it's just true. It's just what happened. So I just think we need a plan. I think we have to go back to the drawing board and really think of some new and innovative things. Biden's blueprint, frankly, I think the White House has done some things wrong. We mentioned Jen Psaki's comment yesterday, but he said, do the family event. Do it. And so we have to do it.
Talking to County Legislator Rachel Barnhart from Monroe County, Freya Schneider is here. Freya is co-founder and executive director of Tykes at the JCC, which is hosting a family-friendly vaccine event this coming weekend. And listeners, I would like to ask you, if you're willing to share with us, you can email the program connections@wxxi.org, or you can call us toll-free. It's 844-295-TALK. 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Have you been waiting to get vaccinated? Are there kids in your family who you're unsure or not doing it yet? You want to learn more? You want to see more? Are you finding that there was something that sort of tipped that scale in one direction or another? Again, no judgment. We just want to keep talking through this. I agree with Freda. I agree with Rachel. We have to be open and meet people where they are. And we're not here to make you feel bad if you're not vaccinated. We just want to talk through this. But I'd like to know if there was something that has either tipped you in one direction or another on making this call, whether it's for yourself or for kids in your family, or if there are still questions that are unanswered. Because we're in a moment here, we're going to talk to Dr. Steve Cook about what he's hearing on questions, especially about kids, but about people in general. So it's 844-295-TALK, toll-free, 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. And Fred, I had a question on how people sort of get signed up this weekend. So how can they do that?
Oh, that's easy. You can go onto our Tykes website, which is tykestheater.org. It's TYKESTHEATRE. So Tykes Theatre. .org, and right on the top of the webpage, you'll see a little box and you click on it, and that'll take you right to the New York State site to sign up for your appointment slot.
All right, Tykes, T-Y-K-E-S, theater with an R-E at the end, .org, if you want to do that. After we take this, our only break of the hour, we're going to come back. Adam in Newark will grab your call. We've got others on the phone. David and Ovid with an email. Some interesting comments from listeners already. So we'll do that in just a second. Let's take this, our only break of the hour. Coming up in our second hour, we meet two SIVs from Afghanistan now living in Rochester. SIV stands for Special Immigrant Visa, and we know that hundreds and thousands tried to flee the country when the Taliban took over. We're not giving you their names for the purposes of protecting them and their families, but we're getting an updated picture of the Afghans who need help next hour.
Your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV has served you well because you maintained it. But when the time comes to get a new set of wheels, your vehicle can help to maintain independent journalism on WXXI. It's easy and it's tax deductible. Find out more about WXXI's vehicle donation program by calling 1-877-308-2408 or by logging on to wxxi.org/car.
This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. If you're on the phone, I promise we'll get through all the calls. We got a lot, and it's great that people are talking about this. I want to welcome Dr. Steve Cook to the program, pediatrician and associate professor of pediatrics at Golisano Children's Hospital. Dr. Cook, welcome back. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
How would you, Steve, how would you rate so far? How content are you with the pace of vaccination of the 5 to 11 age population?
Like everything, location, location, location. Depends on where you're looking. I think we're doing better than average in Monroe County. I'm looking at other counties and they're far behind us. You look within Monroe County, we have suburbs that are taking it up real fast. We have other parts of the community that aren't. I was listening a little bit before, and you know, Rachel's point of looking at the data is really important. You know, in the work I do with the state, I've tried to look at other hubs around the state to see what information they have posted. And interestingly, I've not found anything that has nearly the amount of data that I've seen in the Finger Lakes hub. So while the zip codes are helpful, they don't reveal everything. So you can get more granular with census tracts and looking into specific neighborhoods and stuff. But honestly, I've not seen anything outside of New York City, where I know they have very granular data, that has shown the level of detail that we see. And that actually was really helpful when we started to roll out the pediatric vaccinations, because we knew, you know, the East Side had a much higher rate in teens, the West Side had a lower rate, the city's even tougher. And so we've kind of been watching very quickly and looking to see where we need to pivot, because we still need to pivot and focus on the city and have additional resources there. And the county has responded by opening a second adult vaccination site on North Goodman to serve boosters and first doses. So is it as good as I'd like? Maybe not, but it's better than some areas. So I'm a little encouraged by that. But again, constantly trying to see where we can do better.
If we could, Steve, I'm going to work through some emails and phone calls, and I think your medical expertise is going to help here, because here's an email from a listener who says, my girlfriend wanted our child vaccinated, and I said we're going to wait on it, especially since COVID barely affects kids. She's never heard of thalidomide when she asked about the reasons I have. When you see the reports of the kids having heart issue side effects, the propensity of soccer players dropping dead, I'm concerned about the unknown, long-term, unforeseen consequences this vaccine will cause. I didn't realize how experimental it was when I got it. Now I know, end quote. Steve, I want to give you the floor on this, and I just want to say, listeners, don't take that email as sort of book here, because I appreciate some of the concern, but there's a lot of, I think, incorrect information there. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, so I mean, the problem is that unfettered, untrue information can get out much faster. So the concern of soccer players dropping dead, none of those cases were ever tied to either vaccination or primary COVID. So that was something that got blown out of proportion. The anti-vax community does that specifically to play on people's fears. We all have some fear. The concern of side effects in kids and the experimental nature of the vaccine, well, the reality is that vaccines show us their side effects and their efficacy within 3 months. Anything else beyond that really is just continued community surveillance. And that's where we've seen, you know, everything that we've seen as a side effect has come in within the 2 to 3 month window. And that has been how all vaccines have been for the past 30 years in this country. So surveillance beyond that, first of all, has never yielded anything. Second of all, would be almost impossible to statistically tie to any disease. So it's a matter of, you know, such a small exposure to something is going to cause cancer 8 years down the road is statistically impossible to prove. More importantly, the incidence of the side effects like myocarditis has been looked at and described, and it's seen in young males. Another paper that just came out this week showed that about 95% of young adults, mostly males, who experienced some symptoms of myocarditis had completely resolved symptoms, had mild cases by 6 months. And so that pales in comparison to the actual number of cases of people who had myocarditis or cardiac dysfunction from their primary COVID infection. So the reality is that even though we're vaccinating far more people, the incidence and the damage related to the heart from actual COVID infection is probably anywhere from 50 to 100 times greater. We haven't seen, and we've been monitoring at the CDC level, any local cases. So locally, we haven't seen any cases in the 5 to 11 year old age range of myocarditis. And even the CDC isn't seeing anything on their VAERS data related to this age group, mostly because we know it's related to testosterone, and you really don't have much testosterone in a 5 to 11-year-old as opposed to a young adult, young male. So having normal side effects, just like you might get normal side effects if you take too much Advil, you might get upset stomach. Side effects with the vaccine can be fatigue, headache, cough, chills, achiness, upset stomach. My youngest daughter, I got vaccinated. The first day she was kind of tired and fatigued, laid around more. The second day, second dose that she just got this weekend, she was fine and was doing everything as normal. So we know these vaccines are safe and we know they're effective. And the reality is that we need to look at vaccinating these kids because the unvaccinated are the ones who are getting sick. So go look down in Louisiana, Florida, Georgia, where they had much higher cases, case rates of kids getting infected, getting hospitalized because they were unvaccinated. So if 1 in 1,000 kids gets admitted in the unvaccinated and it's spreading rapidly, much more rapid than it was last fall, last winter, you're going to see more cases of the kids get it. And the greatest increase in death in kids from COVID has been over the past 5-6 months. Compared to the previous 12. So it's the real national data, the national statistics. I would encourage people to go look at the American Academy of Pediatrics webpage, shows ongoing case data reported by states and children's hospitals of cases, case rates, and actual cases of death in kids. Now, it's not astronomical, but for a period of time this summer, COVID was the sixth leading cause of death in kids 5 to 11 in this country. So I just can't, you know, kids don't die often, so it's very rare. And not that we are even seeing, I don't think we've had a pediatric death in our region related to COVID. But the reality is, do we really want to wait for one? I mean, the data is showing us that it does happen.
All right, let me a lot of calls. Let me just get through as many calls as we can get and hang there. Yep, we got time for all of you. Adam in Newark first. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Evan, thank you. I'll try to keep it short, but I wanted to kind of run through my last year of life almost here, because last year at this time, I was an LPN working in a facility in Monroe County, and I couldn't stop working. I literally could not get a day off, and I worked Christmas, Christmas Eve, New Year's. I worked 7 days a week through that whole week. They gave me bonuses. We did everything we could in the nursing home as before vaccines. Okay. And when the vaccine was first available, the nursing homes in New York were obviously the first places to be targeted for the residents and for staff. Now, I discovered a letter to the families written by our administrator in the office that listed how they Walgreens was the ones coming in to do the immunization. Now, they listed their goal was to vaccinate 100% of the residents if they comply, of course, which most of them did. And the other detail was we're only going to do 1/3 of the staff at a time. So here I am, a young, fairly healthy adult, and working with other older people with families and kids who were actually very, very eager to get a vaccine. So I declined the vaccine in the beginning because the way they described it as, we only want 1/3 of the staff at a time because they didn't know what kind of reaction it would cause. And if they want to get every staff member that day vaccinated, well, they might all be out for a couple days after that. And there were plenty of people that called in after they got their shot because they were sick. Now, I'm talking back in March here, I believe. Going on, I continued to decline despite multiple offers from work. You know, they made us sign something that said, you decline this. Okay. Now here comes October, September, when Cuomo on his outgoing, you know, push says we're going to mandate it. Well, okay, that made me very upset and nervous because I never saw this coming. I did not decline because I believe there's some conspiracy or, you know, I absolutely never did that. I never wanted to do that to people and claim that I'm right and you're wrong. But that's when I started to get nervous, when the word mandate started coming in here. Now, again, here we are where more people have been vaccinated than last year because it's been available.
Yeah.
But the numbers are still very high. What's the only difference in society right now that has caused that? Well, everything was closed down last year. This year, everything's been open. So people feel safe, right? They're going out. They're doing things. Well, there's a story on CNN this morning about a Christmas party for a bunch of healthcare workers in, it said, the Spanish hospital.
Adam, 70 people. Let me just jump in here and say, this, if you want to compare it to a year ago, we were still on COVID 1.0. Delta wasn't around. Delta's much more transmissible. We do know that. So that's different. Are you vaccinated against other diseases?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I was a, like I said, I was a healthcare worker.
Okay.
And I took the flu shot every year.
I got you. I got you. So what's the main point you want to leave with us here?
That mandates are going to hurt more than anything, because there's no, you know, you're talking about the shots in a play, or get a, like Joe Biden said, go get a beer and get a shot. Well, come on, this isn't a gimmick here. I don't want $100 to take a chemical that I don't think I need, because I've been through two tours, I would call it, of COVID, you know, lockdown. I tested positive last year in June. I was on hold for 14 days. And this back, and I'm looking at it right now, in October, my girlfriend, who is vaccinated, she got her shot in October. A couple days later, she went to work. They took a, you know, they do testing still in healthcare facilities just about every day for staff. And she tested positive.
But so what?
What's the difference between getting vaccinated and still having to be on lockdown if you test positive? Like, what is this doing for the public health when there really is no, seems to be no change in things? Like,
all right, yeah, let me just jump in, because we got to get to other calls here. Of course, people can get a breakthrough case. I mean, your girlfriend's story is not unusual. And I understand the concern with mandates that people have. This is a country that doesn't like them. This is a country that does not like to be told you have to do this, whether you're in healthcare or others. The vast majority of healthcare workers are vaccinated, and happily so, but there are people like Adam who decided that's not something that they want to do there. But I don't know. I mean, Rachel, is this one of the reasons that you feel like a mask mandate isn't all that effective? I mean, it's colors like this that indicate, you know, mandates are not popular.
I mean, I think a vaccine mandate, particularly for healthcare workers, is completely different from a mask mandate.
For the general population.
Yeah. I mean, this far into the pandemic, I think you really have to think about what are we trying to do and how are we going to do it. I think it's totally appropriate to have mask mandates for government buildings, for public transit, maybe even for retail. But I also think we have to acknowledge how most people are living their lives right now. Restaurants, I don't know last time you've been to one, they're packed. People are having holiday parties. They're having weddings. And I think we have to respect.
We're not in lockdown.
I think we have to respect the fact that there are people on varying places on the risk tolerance spectrum, and no one's breaking those rules. And if you are concerned about people in your lives that are immunocompromised, are elderly, you know, make sure to get a booster shot. And perhaps think about the activities that you and they participate in. That's all we can really ask of people right now. But I think we also just have to be realistic. I'm also very much in favor of making sure that we have high quality masks for the people who need them, including people who are in high risk jobs, people who are vulnerable. And our country hasn't really done that either.
But Adam said it was a gimmick to offer $100 or to.
Yeah, no.
It's not a gimmick.
The $100 got people what my experience was that with the $100 got people to the table to have difficult conversations about vaccination. And this is the target population is one that, frankly, is struggling with a lot of different things. So saying thank you for getting the shot, I think, is the least that we can do.
Okay. And Freda, when it comes to risk tolerance, I mean, you said you were surprised happily to see people coming out to shows, even though this pandemic's not over. People are making their own calls on what feels safe when they're vaccinated.
Yes, that is exactly true. And we live in the United States where you have that right to make your own call about lots of things. As far as a show and a shot being a gimmick or a bribe, I created this program in order to ease some anxiety that children have associated with shots, to make it a little bit more comfortable for kids. That's all. Not to try to persuade somebody who doesn't wish to do this to proceed, but simply to make those who are interested more comfortable and more sort of relaxed during the process. Also, I think a great thing that we can teach our kids is that we don't have to be mandated to do something. We can give of ourselves in a kind way so as to help others voluntarily. You may or may not be fine if you get COVID, but your 98-year-old grandmother or the person behind you in the shopping line may not be. And that's a lesson we can teach kids.
Dr. Cook, do you want to respond to the caller before we move on to the next?
Look at the fact that Delta is 5 to 7 times more transmissible. We're dealing with a completely different animal. Good quality masks and wearing them properly are important. I mean, protective equipment, we've seen that. You know, the STD data shows that condoms fail 25% of the time. It's not that the material fails, it's not used properly. Same with masks. When you walk around and you see people with them on their chin, their nose hanging out, you know, it's not providing the protection. And on top of it, you have a more virulent strain. The reality is that this is changing, and it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And the harder part is that elderly, people with immunocompromised conditions, people who are 6 months or more out and they have chronic health conditions are starting to, you know, are the cases that we do see for breakthrough and severe breakthrough. But when you look at the hospital, 70-80% of our admitted COVID cases are in the unvaccinated. And among the vaccinated, the vast majority are elderly or you know, have multiple chronic conditions and are 5, 6, 7 months out from their primary vaccine. So, you know, the data we have to look at has to be shared, I think, pretty much better in the community to give people a real sense of what we're doing.
Yeah.
Hospitals aren't going to close down elective surgeries unless they absolutely have to.
Yeah. And just because Adam has been a healthcare worker, I feel like I can say, you know, hey, if you don't like mandates, I mean, I understand that some people don't, and they will put a line down and we have to respect that. And then you've got a decision to make on your career. As far as saying there's just as many cases as last year, there's not as many, but there's a lot, there's more than we feared. It's because it's a totally different strain, man. Come on. You know that.
Well, and you know what? In the hospital, it's the unvaccinated are younger by over 12 years, and their length of stay is longer because they're sicker. And, you know, if tragically, if an 80-year-old person with COPD and unvaccinated comes in and they go on a ventilator and they start having organ failure, they may die pretty quickly in a couple of days. Family may withdraw support. A 40-year-old without any chronic health conditions, whether they're vaccinated or not, we throw the kitchen sink at them. We ventilate them. We put them on ventilators. We put them on ECMO, heart-lung bypass, and you're talking weeks in the hospital. You know, and that's a different case than just, you know, a number that says, oh, 10 people were hospitalized.
Yeah.
Evan, I wanted to, and Dr. Cook, the Monroe County puts on its dashboard the rate per 100,000 people who are hospitalized right now, vaccinated versus unvaccinated. So I did the math, because you know there's a lot more vaccinated people than unvaccinated people. Right now in Monroe County, unvaccinated people are 6 times more likely to be hospitalized and 10
Absolutely.
Times more likely to be in the ICU and intubated. The data is clear that vaccination prevents severe illness and death.
Real straightforward. Thank you for that, Rachel. Updated numbers here. Leslie in Rochester on the phone next. Go ahead, Leslie.
Hello there. Just a quick comment I had about RCSD.
typically information does get out to the schools from central office, and I think people don't know exactly what to do with it. I am one that sees something as important as that. I print it and post it, but I have had other individuals say that they do not know what to do with it. So I think, you know, whether it's school by school, individual by individual, I think we could do a little bit better as a whole, but that comes from the top down, and that's all I have to say.
Okay.
Yeah, just sending an email home and sending flyers home about here's where to get vaccinated, I don't think that does the trick. I mean, you really have to bring it to the people.
Yeah, and I think that's, Freda, that's kind of what you're doing this weekend, right? I mean, you want to be able to not just give people information, and we're talking about a very different scenario, generally speaking, at JCC versus Rochester proper, but you still want to say, if you want this vaccination, we've got it here. It's different than just a flyer with information.
Yes, exactly. It takes a moment to sign up for it, and then all you have to do is show up. So it's as available as I can possibly figure out a way to make it, given my circumstances.
Remind people, what time this weekend?
This weekend, Saturday and Sunday, 9 to noon at the JCC, and you can sign up at tykestheater.org.
Jerry and Webster on the phone next. Hi, Jerry, go ahead.
I've been listening, and I want to praise the people who have come up with lots of creative ways to try and get people to be vaccinated. And yet, Dr. Cook says that this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And I'm about to say something very inflammatory, probably, but I have to say that with mandates for certain public servants, policemen, firemen, other healthcare workers, and things of that nature, although mandates are unpopular, why has there not been a mandate for people who benefit from public welfare payments and so forth, to incent them? I know it's terrible. I am ashamed almost to say this, but maybe we need to have a harder line in terms of getting people for the social good, for the welfare of all, to accept their responsibility. And maybe there's a negative motivator there. And again, I hesitate to say this. It's going to sound very prejudicial and so forth.
But where do you want to draw the line? Because lots of people benefit from our tax dollars. I mean, for God's sake, Enron benefited from our tax dollars. Does everyone at Wells Fargo have to be vaccinated? Does everyone who got on Wall Street who got a bailout, where do you draw the line?
All of the above.
Okay, so
honestly, that's everyone in America.
Yeah, I mean,
because everyone benefits.
I think, with respect, and Rachel, if you want to jump in, I think the caller is trying to make a point about people in city populations he thinks are on welfare, and I think he's not realizing that.
I mean,
you can't draw that line.
We all benefit from government. We all get things from government. So I think targeting people this way would be a shame. I think back to what Stefan Barrell says, resources before restrictions. And one of the big mistakes that we've made in this pandemic is that Democrats, frankly, have made, is we put these restrictions in place on people and these rules without giving them the means to meet those rules. And this seems to me to be another one of those things. If we're going to mandate masks, if we're going to mandate vaccines, if we're going to have lockdowns and tell people they can't to socialize, and you know, what are you doing to make sure that people can meet those requirements? And we haven't really done a great job with that. So resources before restrictions, I think, is a great way to think about this.
Lisa emails to say, I like the explanation of public health as a bank account, and the term bounce check resonates with me. My husband and I are vaccinated and boosted. Our two teens are vaccinated, but I am hesitant to get my elementary age kids vaccinated. Vaccines did not allow my older kids to talk and see smiles unmasked at school. Additionally, the U.S. has been very bad at accurate risk-benefit analysis. Many European countries are not allowing kids to get vaccinated. That's from Lisa. That last comment on Europe is, that's not exactly true. There's a lot of, the European Union's health authority, they're basically studying the same data that United States authorities studied. They could green light five and up real soon, and kids across Europe of different ages are getting vaccinated. I mean, it's not uniform, but there's not just a disposition that Europe is not vaccinating kids. Dr. Cook, you want to add to that?
Yeah, that's very true, Adam. The reality is that they're looking at side effects, they're looking at different vaccines as well, and how they're trying to roll those out in the age groups. And we've learned a lot from these vaccines and over a short period of time, far more than we learn when we do traditional studies with far fewer people and track them for 5 years. So I think it's really important to not cherry pick our statistics. It's really important to understand what the big picture is like. You know, if at a certain time a country opens up all its borders and rules and walls and stuff, but they have 85% of their entire population vaccinated, then that's different. But it's also taking a chance. And we don't know how long this is going to, how the spread rolls, and we have to get a better sense of what endemic looks like. And the whole point has been to not flatten the healthcare curve, or to flatten the curve and not overwhelm the healthcare system. And, you know, that's what our region, Buffalo Rochester, is facing. Our hospitals are exceeding capacity. They're taking more drastic steps. And unless more people get vaccinated, unless we start changing our behaviors, that's going to get worse, and we're going to have to change them.
Boy, oh boy, this hour flew. Dr. Cook, you're always generous with your time, sir. Thanks for making it. I know we'll talk soon. That's Dr. Steve Cook and Freda Schneider from Tykes at the JCC. Big event this weekend. One more time, quick.
You bet. This weekend, Saturday, Sunday, 9 to 12, TykesTheater.org. Sign up for a shot for your 5 to 11-year-old.
All right, TykesTheater.org, T-Y-K-E-S, theater with an R-E at the end. Thank you for being here, Freda.
Thank you.
Rachel Barnhart, Monroe County Legislator, trying to keep him honest.
Oh, thank you so much for highlighting this issue, Evan. Let's keep going.
We got it. More connections coming up in a moment.